Good morning and welcome to the West End Church of Christ Bible Study. This is the class of frequently asked questions that David Lamphere and myself are teaching, and we have been broadcasting this class on our YouTube channel, as we also have the other classes that are available, and you can watch them on the YouTube channel as well. That is Acts with Mike Thomas and L.R. Kennan, Romans with Johnny Montgomery and Matt Mayo, Glorifying God with Carol Duckworth and James McClenney, and then David and myself with this class. We'll continue those adult classes online at this time as we go to the month, finish up the month of May, and then we'll get into the month of June. So we encourage you to not only choose a class if you're just now joining us or you're joining us from another congregation or even another state, or you can go back and listen to previous classes and catch up as well. But we appreciate all the teachers and all the work that they have done on those classes. We'll have another month in those classes, and believe it or not, then we'll be starting a new quarter, which is hard to imagine, but it will be the third quarter, and we'll be letting you know about those classes and who will be teaching those classes very soon so that you can begin to decide what classes you want to participate in for the third quarter. We also have classes for all of the younger children, too, on the K-6, the middle school, and the high school, and we appreciate all the teachers and the work that they're doing there as well. We will have our, I just want to make this announcement for those that are members of this congregation and are watching our classes right now, or this class. Remember that we will start here at the building this morning for folks arriving at 9:45, and we'll have about 30 minutes for everyone to get seated. And then we will start our worship service at 10:15 here at the building. But we will also have the worship service online as well, so everybody knows that they can continue to worship with us online if they are not comfortable with coming back to the building at this time and they have health concerns about that. But we have put some safety protocols in place. We've got a lot of folks that are going to help us to get those executed, and we ask everyone to respectfully think about those protocols as you come to the building and do the very best we can to worship God, not let anything be a distraction, but focus on Him and doing the very best we can to please Him. So if you don't mind, before we start this morning's class, I'd like to get you to join me in a word of prayer. Our merciful, righteous Heavenly Father, we come before you, humbly bow this morning, thanking you for all the many blessings that you give us. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, and the sacrifice that was made so that we would have a hope of eternal salvation with you. We thank you for the church that was established through him by you, for us to be able to come together to learn, to know more of what you would have us to do in our lives every day to be pleasing in your sight in this life, physically, in our spiritual worship to you, so that when this life is over, we can be with you for eternity in heaven. We pray, Heavenly Father, as we get ready to go into this Bible study this morning, that you will help us to forget about everything else that's going on around us, and we'll focus our minds on worshiping you the way that you would have us to, and studying more about your word and understanding how important the church is and the role that we play in the church in helping to not only encourage and teach one another, but also spreading the gospel for others as well. Please help us this morning as we get ready to go into our worship service a little bit later. Help us to, again, all clear our minds of the things of this world and focus on worshiping you and doing the very best we can to accomplish that and please you. We pray all this in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. So, we have been doing classes in this quarter, frequently asked questions, and we've had a number of different topics that we've covered. And again, we're going to have through the end of the month of June. We're almost through May. It's hard to believe today is the 24th. And believe it or not, Johnny, I was looking at the calendar, and it's been, today will be 11 weeks. It's hard to believe. It's been 11 weeks since we've been in this building together, assembled. Last date that we were together in the building assembled was on March the 16th or the 15th. Which one was it, 15th or the 16th? Now I've got to look at my calendar and see. But it has been a total of, it was March the 15th. Yeah, so it has been a total of, been a total of 11 weeks since we've been in this building together. But our worship to God has not stopped. We were in the building together on the 15th. We social distanced the very best that we could. And then on the 22nd, we started this online service for our classes and for our worship service as well. And we never stopped worshiping God as a congregation of people, as a church, West End Church of Christ. And we've had a number of other people that have joined us since then. Now, we didn't come to this building. We came to the building to have a lesson like we're having now. We recorded lessons and we broadcast those lessons through our YouTube channel and other resources that we have. And we made those classes available to everyone, and we did that electronically. So we got everybody together and we assembled the best way that we could. And we're very thankful that we have those resources today, because you know, there was a time where that would have not been possible, and it would have been a whole lot more difficult to try and get everybody together, given the circumstances. But we're fortunate that we did have those resources. And part of what we're going to talk about today is a question that was submitted here in the last week. There were a number of questions that were submitted by this individual. And this one has a couple of different areas that I'm going to try and cover, and I'm not sure how much of that I'll get done today compared to what I'll get into on Wednesday night. But the question, here's the question, okay? What are the primary duties of the church? Why does the Church of Christ not sponsor recreational activities, fellowship halls, colleges, and things of that nature? So that's the question that I have that I'm going to deal with this morning. And I'll begin. I'm not sure how far I'll get. And then we will get into more detail on that on Wednesday night as well. So, first question, and first part of that question is, what are the primary duties of the church? And you know, for me personally, I think before we get into what are the primary duties of the church, the thing that I want to talk a little bit about is, what is the church? You know, what is the church? You know, there's a lot of people that when they think about what the church is, they think about this building. And that's not what the church is. This is a building where the church assembles. But this is not the church, the building, not the bricks and mortar of what we have, the pews that we sit in. It's a way that we are able to assemble together to worship, and that's another one of the duties and responsibilities of the church, worship God. But the church is the body of Christ. And if you think about the definition of the word church, ecclesia, it's to call out. And in the Christian sense, it is an assembly of Christians that are gathered for worship together to worship God. So that is what the church is. The church designates those also that belong to Christ, those that have been called out of this world and have called into the light. In 1 Peter, if you take your Bibles and you want to look at some scriptures with me this morning, there's a number of scriptures I'm going to look at in 1 Peter, the second chapter, in verses 9 through 10. And this is a scripture that's familiar to us. If you haven't gotten a paper and pencil out or a computer to make some notes on, I would encourage you to do that. And if you have anybody ask you these questions, it'll be an easy way for you to refer back to some of the things that we're going to talk about this morning. 1 Peter, the second chapter, verses 9 through 10, it says, "But you are a chosen generation." When Peter is telling the folks there that he is speaking with, the churches of Asia Minor, "You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who have not obtained mercy but have now obtained mercy." So when we think about who we are as the church, and we think about what we are as the church, we are of Christ, of God, and we have been called out of darkness. Darkness that is in the world that separates us from being with God. And we've got to decide that that's where we want to be and that's what we want to be. If you go over also to 1 John, the first chapter, 1 John, the first chapter, talks about and reemphasizes the point that was made in 1 Peter, the second chapter. And it says in 1 John, the first chapter, and verses 5 through 7, "This is the message that we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So we know it's the sacrifice of Christ and his blood that cleanses us and brings us into him. And then we are in the light. We are living in the light. We are living in a way that we're trying to let the life of Christ be reflected in the things that we do and say. But the church is being part of him, being part of who he was and who he is today and who we try and be to be pleasing in the sight of God. You know, Jesus started very early when he came to this earth in his ministry to proclaim the truth, to be the example that he needed to be. And as we read about his life in the Gospels, in Matthew in particular, and we think about what he did when he came to this earth, the sacrifice that he made, the obedience that he showed to God, that's the same kind of obedience that God and Christ expects from us when we come into him, Christ, and into a relationship with them, God. And we can only have that relationship with God through Christ. So as we think about what the church is, and the church is the body of Christ, and we think about being those that are called out, then we need to understand that we are called out from something. And when we're called out from the darkness that is in the world, we have to make a decision to leave that darkness behind us. We have to be committed to not letting darkness be a part of our lives anymore. So that's what the Bible tells us. Over in Colossians, it talks a little bit about that too. If you would, look at Colossians 1 and 13 through 14. Colossians 1, 13 and 14. And here we go. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated or transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So again, we're called out, we're translated to, we're made a part of the body of Christ in a relationship with God through the blood of Christ. So, you know, there's some people that say, well, all you got to do is, you know, they used to say, you know, just touch the TV and just pray the sinner's prayer and all you've got to do and you're saved. Well, you know, God's word has more specific instructions for us on what we need to do to be in that relationship with God through Christ. And it's through the blood of Christ and it's through the baptism that we're instructed to do if we believe God's word and we're going to live it to the very best of our ability. We are called out of the world and we are called into something else. And what we are called into is the body of Christ, and we're called into him. The church is also a description of Christians everywhere universally and was established by Christ from the universal standpoint. If you look over in Matthew, the 16th chapter and verse 18, we are an independent congregation here overseen by the elders that are chosen to lead this group of Christians at West End Church of Christ. We make independent decisions based on God's word and what we believe is best for this congregation. Just like when we began this pandemic issue and we were working to try and make everything as safe as we could for everyone, the local elders here at this congregation had to make decisions about what was best for this congregation. We're an independent body of Christ. And when Christ said in Matthew, the 16th chapter and verse 18, he was talking about the universal church, even though there's individual congregations all over the world. He said, and I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So Christ established the universal church, individual churches and congregations all over the world, structure put in place for how those churches are to be overseen by local leaders, local elders, that are going to be seeing to the spiritual needs and also making sure that we are following God's word and his will to the very best of our ability. So we've got to make sure that we understand that Christ established the church through the blood sacrifice that he made, through the life that he lived, through the example that he was. And from a very early time, again, in Matthew, the third chapter, when he first came to begin his ministry and he went to John to be baptized, one of the first things he did was to be baptized. John said, "I'm not worthy to baptize you." And Christ said, "This is what needs to be done." He said in the third chapter of Matthew in verse 15, he said, "Permit it to be so now, for thus as it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. And Jesus, when he had been baptized, came up immediately from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." It was God basically saying, "This is my Son. This is the work that he is here on the earth to be a part of." And so what Christ immediately did in his life and documented for us in the book of Matthew is he goes and he fasts for 40 days and 40 nights, and then he's taken to be tempted by Satan. And when he went to be tempted by Satan, there's more example for us to see how he dealt with sin. And every time that Satan tempted him, what did he do? He quoted Scripture. Every time he was tempted by Satan, he quoted Scripture and he went back to the Word. So what do we do when we are tempted by sin? And when we think about the example of Christ, and we think about the example that he was for us, how do we do when we are tempted by sin? Because remember, we're called out of the world and we're called into the light, and that is him, that is God, and that is being part of the body of Christ, the kingdom of God, the church established through God from the beginning of time. But in all of those things, when Christ was tempted, now I understand he was deity in the body of a man, but he did not fail because he was focused, he was diligent about his faithfulness, about his mission, about his work, about the responsibility that he had. Now, what I need to ask myself and what you need to ask yourself is, how diligent am I having that same kind of faithfulness? How diligent am I in being called out of the world and making sure that my life is a reflection of his light? Because if we are the church, because we are those that are called out, God's looking at us and sees everything that we do. He knows everything that happens in my life, in my actions, in my thoughts, in my heart. He knows everything. And also, the other thing we need to remember is everybody in the world sees what we do. And so if people are still part of darkness and we say we're part of light, how are we going to be able to teach them anything if they don't see anything different about who we are and what we are? So when we talk about primary duties of the church, and we talk about the responsibilities of the individuals of the church, because we're the called out, every day we've got an opportunity through the things that we do and say to make a difference for the kingdom of God. And that's what God expects us to do and who he expects us to be. You know, when you continue on and you can read the entire book of Matthew and look at the life of Christ and think about what he did and how he came through all of the different things that happened. And just in concluding that one thought there in Matthew in the fourth chapter, where the final temptation was made, and Christ said, "Away with you, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." You know, Satan basically had said, "Bow down before me, and I'll make all of this yours." Well, it already was his. It already was his. But what we've got to understand is what happened when he said what he did was the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. So we've got to remember that when temptation is upon us, when sin is facing us, we've got to do the same thing that Christ did, to stand strong for the church, to represent the kingdom of God the way that we should, and God expects us to, and Christ expects us to. Because when we don't do that, then what are we saying about the sacrifice that Christ made for us to be a part of his kingdom, to be a part of his body? We're saying it didn't mean anything to me. We're saying the life that you lived, all that you went through, all the love that you showed me, it really doesn't have any meaning to me because I want what I want. And then we're not doing a very good job of representing the body of Christ, the kingdom of God, those that are part of the group that is called out that we read about initially in 1 Peter, the second chapter. So we've got to make sure that we are living lives that reflect those that are called out. Look at Acts, the 9th chapter, in verse 31. Acts, the 9th chapter, in verse 31. Well, that's the wrong scripture. I apologize. I'll have to get back on that with you on Wednesday night. Anyway, the people that are part of the church, we are the folks that are called out. We've got to make sure that we understand that and do that to the very best of our ability. We talked a little bit earlier in another class about relationships. And when we think about the relationship between Christ and the church, we think about him being the head of the church. And the relationship that's used in the Bible is the bride to her husband, the husband and the wife, and Christ and the church. And that's in Ephesians in the 5th chapter in verses 22 through 23. And then a little bit later it talks more about that. But, you know, it's an interesting parallel that is used there. Because if you think about the relationship between a man and a woman, and then you think about the relationship between the husband and the wife, okay, there's two different things going on there. In Ephesians 5, 22 through 23, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." When you think about the importance of this parallel, it really helps to make a great point. How important is the relationship between Christ and the church, and then how important is the relationship between the husband and the wife? And how does the church survive without Christ? Or how can the church please God in the way that God would want to be pleased without Christ being the head of the church? How does the church survive without Christ? Well, it's not going to be what God wants it to be. And how does the marriage survive without both husband and wife being what they need to be? How's a marriage what it needs to be if man is not the head of the family like he should be? What if man and a woman get their roles messed up? What if the woman's leading the way for the family instead of the man providing the leadership that's necessary? Men, if you put your wife in a position where she's got to take a lead, then you failed God, and you have failed her, and you failed yourself, and you failed your family. Because the man is supposed to be the leader of his family. And just like the man is the leader of his family, he takes care of his family. He loves his family. He does the things that needs to be done for his family because he loves them. Christ is the head of the church, and we look to Christ for leadership. We look to Christ for direction. We look to Christ for example in all the things that we should do and how we should live our lives. Also, another parallel we might think about with regard to God and example that he shows us, from the very beginning of time when Eve was created from the rib of Adam, God showed in his eternal purpose that he intended there to be one woman for the one man. He showed that he intended there to be one woman for the one man. He intended there to be Eve for Adam. He didn't say, it's okay to have multiple women. He didn't say it's okay, well, if this doesn't work out, then you get you somebody that you like better. No. He created one woman for one man. And so as we think about that one relationship between Adam and Eve, the husband and wife, one for the other, then here's what we've got to remember. It's the same way with the church. We think about all of the churches that are out there today. Is that the way God wanted it to be? No. It's not. Christ died for the church. Christ gave us the example that we needed to know what we should do. And that's what we need to try and do in our lives every day, in the way that we worship him, in the people that we are, in taking his word that completely tells us everything that we need to know. 2 Timothy 2:15, that the word gives us everything that we need to know to be pleasing in him. So we've got to understand that the church needs to be what we want it to be. The church doesn't need to be the church needs to be what God wants it to be. The church does not need to be what we want it to be. And that's why we examine the scriptures. That's why we work to understand what it says. That's why when we think about what the church did when it was first established and what we do today, we've got to remain focused on doing the very best we can to execute what God has put before us in his word. And so the church is the body of Christ. It is many members, but Christ is its head. And that's who we're to try to be every day in everything that we talk about. One of the parts of the questions I'm going to talk more about on Wednesday night, and more about what the church is too, is all the other things that people talk about, recreational facilities, fellowship halls, things of that nature. And I want you to ask yourself this question. What do those have to do with the cause of Christ? Is there anything wrong with getting together and fellowshipping with one another? And in the time that we're in right now, we have to practice social distancing, and there's some things we have to do, but is there anything wrong with being able to get together and doing some of those things recreationally? No, there's not. But where those things are done and how they are done is what is the question that we've got to answer with regard to the truth, because those things are not the work of the church. Those things are things that people can do independently. Those things are things that people can do because they want to, but they're not the work of the body of Christ. They're not the work of how we go about doing God's will and trying to help grow the kingdom of God. We grow the kingdom of God through truth. We grow the kingdom of God through love. We grow the kingdom of God and the body of Christ through submission and love and acceptance of what God expects of us, and then doing that to the very best of our ability. Our time's up this morning, and we want to give everybody time to be able to get to the building. We're going to start letting folks in about 9:45 and help everybody get seated. We will then, again, try and get everybody in here and promptly start at 10:15. We just ask you to remember to take your temperatures before you leave the house. Make sure everybody looks good. Mine was 97.3 this morning as Jenny and I checked ours before we left the house. And we ask you to check yours too. But there will also be some of our medical folks that will be checking temperatures of folks as they get at the building this morning as well. So really look forward to seeing everybody this morning, but also we look forward to continuing to have our online service and those aren't able to make it at the building. So we'll be back in about, oh, I guess it's going to be about 45 minutes. Yeah, we'll be back at 10:15 with a live service. So thank you for being with us this morning.